Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 16, 2014, or it is 8-21, 2018. We will start our second service today with a song entitled, Beyond the Sunset. Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth toilly ended, O glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storm will threaten, no fears annoy. O day of gladness, O joy of mending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, a hand will guide me to Yah the Father whom I adore. His glorious presence, His blessed welcome, will be my portion on that fair shore. Beyond the sunset, glad reunion with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, forever. Part 2, House of David, 1 Kings chapter 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and told him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Now what is Jeroboam talking about? He's talking about his father Solomon had made his yoke, made the yoke of Israel heavy. In other words, Jeroboam was nothing but a heathen, and all he wanted to be was a Babylonian idolater, and he wanted to be in power, but he wanted to sit upon the throne of Israel, and he wanted to run it like Satan would run it. Okay, let us go ahead, verse 5, and he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me, and the people departed. And King Rehoboam, which is the king of Judah, sitting upon the throne of David, consulted with the old man that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words unto them, then they will be thy servants forever. Okay. But Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old man. See, the old man, they realized that the people were in rebellion. They were the old men that was with Solomon before he died. He realized that Israel was in rebellion because of Solomon's apostasy. Solomon became apostatized and became just like he was just like Jeroboam. Solomon, he built altars and so forth. He had 1,000 wives taken from every aspect and every nationality of the world. And he raised up seed unto all of them. And so he loved, and he built idols and so forth for them. He raised up altars of Baal and so forth for his wives. And they worshiped in the groves. So Solomon completely went, and so that's the reason why Jeroboam wanted to continue it on. But Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, I believe, that was over Judah, wanted to continue on the righteous line that Solomon had dedicated the beginning of his ministry to, and that was to do all that the Yahweh command. So, but it says right here, but Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old man. That was with Solomon saying, if thou wilt be a servant of this people this day and will serve them and answer them and speak good words unto them, then they will be thy servants forever. Yeah. Those apostatized idolaters, yeah, if you'll just let them have their way, live the way their father had ended up living, apostatizing, then they'll serve you forever. But so Rehoboam said, no, he forsook the counsel of the old man. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Now Rehoboam is consulting now with the young men that grew up with him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whip, but I will chastise you with scorpion. Boy, a real boom is going to clean house. And he's going to get rid of all that idolatry. Meaning that he was in the spirit and power of the Elijah. This is who Rehoboam was. He was in the spirit and power of the Elijah. He's going to clean out idolatry. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsake the old man's counsel that they gave him and spake unto them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whip, but I will chastise you with scorpion. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Yahweh, that he might perform his saying, of which the Yahweh spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So, the apostatizers that followed in the footsteps of Solomon at the end of his reign, Look what they did. They turned on the house of David. Okay, and wanted to destroy it off the face of the earth. What's the difference today? Now today, in our day, Adventist Church represents this rebellious house of Israel. That were the followers of Jeroboam that wanted to destroy the leader of the house of David. Same thing today. Brother Johnson represented Jeroboam. As he apostatized, and he ended up just like Jeroboam did. Mm-hmm. But before Solomon in his day apostatized, he drove his son out of Israel because his son was an idolater. And Solomon was against idolatry. So he drove his own son, had to flee down into Egypt, flee for his life from his father Solomon. Because Solomon was righteous and was maintaining righteousness. It just so happened that Solomon apostatized in his reign. And then when Solomon died, they all sent for Jeroboam to come back into Israel and to rule over them. Okay. So Brother W. Johnson apostatized. He was nothing but an antithetical Jeroboam. That's the reason why Yahweh had to raise up a king to sit upon David's throne again to dispel that idolatry that Brother Johnson represented. Brother Johnson represented Jeroboam. He represented Ahab. He represented Eli, the priest. He represented others. And he represented King Saul, Ahab, Esau, those three main characters. And then he represented the end of Solomon's reign, when he apostatized. So 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 20, and it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. So here they are, the children of Israel, calling upon this son of Solomon to come back out of Egypt. Called him up and made him king over Israel. I mean, there was no dedication of the temple. There was no rededicating it. There was no repenting of sins. There was no making thousands of offerings like Solomon did when he dedicated the throne of David, the house of David. There wasn't anything like that. So what did they hope to gain? By setting up an apostatized kingdom of Israel. There was none but the fall of the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, and 180,000, the chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So here they are. They raised up 180,000 chosen men, warriors, to go and fight against the 10 tribes of Israel that had apostatized. But the word of Yahweh came unto Shemaiah, the man of Elohim, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and unto the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith Yahweh, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man unto his house, for this thing is from me. They hearken therefore to the word of the Yahweh, and return to depart according unto the word of Yahweh. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Okay, so even in their apostatized condition, the 10 tribes up in the north, having already built these 2 golden calves, so they thought, man, we built these cities, and well, we're showing now the house of King David down in Jerusalem in the south, they'll accept this now and let us come and join them because we're more in number. were 10 tribes to their 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And we've got cities now. We've got a headquarters established up here in Ephraim. So now, the house of David will return to the house of David, but the house of David will have to come here and worship with us here in Ephraim. And I'll be the head. I'll be the head of the house of David up here in Ephraim, up here in the north. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Yahweh, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Oh, man. Jeroboam didn't want the heart of the 10 tribes to return unto Yahweh. They didn't want that. Said if they do that, they'll return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. If they turn back to Yahweh and Yahshua, his son, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of the goat and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Well, actually, I guess he made these 2 calves after, not before. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of the high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. You know, the sons of Levi, the tribe of Levi was one that was commissioned and ordained to be the priesthood for the 12 tribes, and not anyone else. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Okay. Chapter 13, 1 Kings. And behold, there came a man of Elham out of Judah by the word of the Yahweh unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now here's this evil king of over the ten tribes. This is Solomon's son. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Yahweh and said, O altar, O altar, altar, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David. Josiah by the name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Yahweh hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of Elham, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up so that it could not pull it in again unto him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of Elham had given by the word of Yahweh. And the king answered and said unto the man of Elham, entreat now the face of the Yahweh that Elham, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of Elham besought the Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored him again, and he became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of Elham, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of Elham said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of Yahweh, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way as thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the men of Elohim had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king, and them they told also unto their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the men of Elohim went, which came from the Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of Elohim, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of Elohim that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me by the word of Yahweh, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of Yahweh came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of Elohim that came from Judah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of Yahweh, and hast not kept the commandment which the Yahweh the Elohim commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which Yahweh did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy father. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of Yahweh who was disobedient unto the word of Yahweh. Okay. Now this is a story that Rodus Johnson told, and when he wrote me the letter of dismissal, he wrote this about the old lion prophet from Bethel, and the young prophet from Judah. Rodus said he was this young prophet from Judah, and that I was the old lion prophet from Bethel. He reversed it. Sometime I'll get that letter and read that to you and show you how Rodus Johnson reversed it. A Change of the Guard by the Brother Study Johnson, August the 10th, 2002. Now, I had told Rodus in the latter part of 2001, or the early part of 2002, it might have been in January of 2002, that I was given a message in heaven that there's going to be a change in the guard starting at the Passover 2002 and culminating at the Psalm Assembly 2002. Now this is what I told him. This is what I told my wife verbatim. That's what I told everyone. A verbatim, word for word, what I just said. And so now, when we had our separation, final one, July the 27th, 2002, when I stood up in the church and wouldn't allow Brother Johnson to court-martial me with all those false charges, I took over the meeting and I held it for 2 hours and read him the right act and told him and traced my steps all the way back to 1970. It took me 2 hours to go through all that. And I helped. They were held as a captive audience, except DeLong's wife, Amy. She hated me and everything I stood for, so she got up and left. But everybody else stayed. And so here's Brother Johnson answering my answer of July the 27th on August the 10th. So you see, two Sabbaths later, I guess, about August the 10th, here's his answer to my answer to him, July the 14th, 2002. And this is his answer to me when I first told him there was going to be a change of the guard earlier that year. Starting, and I don't really done told you, at the Passover and ending at the Feast of Tabernacle. Anyway, here's Brother W. Johnson. Now, he just told his own story, so it sounds good coming from him. But most of this is inaccurate, and I'm going to correct it as we go along. But it's important that I read you this letter that he wrote, because it's important for the world out there. We're coming into a time when this is a connecting link that has to be written and has to be published by me in order for the people, the saints, to make the right decision when it comes down to a final decision for either joining the 144,000 house of David or continuing on joining and worshiping at the tomb of the false prophet. Now, as I read this, Alan DeLong, the reason he's not with us today is a few weeks ago he was telling me that Rutherford Johnson published the truth. I understand stuff that Rutherford published. Well, Alan got a copy of this letter that Rutherford published to me, and he's with me because he said Rutherford was a liar and he was all wrong. So you see what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm publishing this stuff. I stand in condemnation by these people that reject this truth. And now I'm in condemnation of Alan DeLong. And as always says, he don't understand the things that I teach, but he understands what Rutherford teaches. Okay. So, let's see about it. Here's a change of the guard by the Rutherford Johnson. August the 10th, 2002. He says, a few weeks ago, I began hearing from Denton Bronken that Yahvah, Y-A-H-V-A-H, he never would spell the sacred name right. He felt like that Kathy and I forced him to start using it, so he put the V in the place of the Y in the middle of the name, Yahvah, and he spelled it with six letters. And actually, the true rendering of it is Eliyahu, means Elijah in the transliteration, but in the Hebrew, it's two parts of Yahweh's name with seven letters to it. So, Brother Johnson, he uses Yahvah. He knows that he had admitted to me that we should be using the sacred name, so and he's using it for my benefit. It says that Yahweh had told him that there would be, let's start all over. A few weeks ago, I began hearing from the Denton Brunken that Yahvah had told him that there would be a change of the guard, so I asked him the meaning of the phrase, whom it was and what it was, but received no answer. Now, this is his first lie, because when I went to him and told him the first time that there's going to be a change of the guard, starting at the Passover and culminate the Solemn Assembly. That's all I said. I gave him the message. I didn't ask him for an answer. I just told him what Yahweh had told me, and I went my merry way. I never got an answer from him. He never offered one. But here he is now. He's making it sound like he did ask me, and I never said anything. No, it's true. I never said nothing because he never asked. As time went on, I heard more rumors about the change of the guards. He heard more rumors. But the only thing that he could hear from would be then his side defense, because I only told it once to my wife. I went and told it to Rutherford. Brothers told his wife, and his wife broadcast it to every member of the church, and I never said no more about the change of the guard to anybody. But he goes on to say, as time went on, I heard more rumors about the change of the guard, you know, but I didn't think much about it. Well, the only place that he would get his rumors from is from his wife, I can tell you that. Then on Sunday, afternoon, July the 14th, at 2:02, my wife and I, and Denton Brunken, who was driving our car, was returning from a short trip when all of a sudden Denton spoke out in a stern, commanding voice to me, saying, "You already told me to tell you to sit up at the 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. worship in the church on all holy days and in the homes on all other days. But Yahweh speaks to me just like he speaks to you, Brother Jay. But Yahweh told me to tell you to move the webpage from Rodney, that's his grandson, his house, to mine, Denton Brunken's house, where it belongs, so that he and Catherine could run it. Rodney is not qualified because they don't come to church all the time, and Rodney and Nikki, his wife, they don't dress properly as the rules call for. And the material that Daniel brings for current events is not kosher. And Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Nikki, and Amy, Alan's wife, are coordinations and bonds and should be eliminated. Denton turned around to Laura Mae in the back seat saying, "You better obey my counsel, for this is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. For the first place, I always use the sacred name Yahshua. If I use Lord, I said that Yahweh. I didn't say Lord." Okay, so now I'm going to go back and give you the truth of exactly what was said on that trip. Okay, he says, Brother Sean said, Then on Sunday afternoon, July the 14th, 2002, my wife and I and Denton Brunken, who were driving our car, were returning from a short trip. Okay. Now, that trip was on a Sunday morning, number one. I got up early Sunday morning with a load of watermelons. I sold a lot of watermelons back then. And I had a few watermelons that I needed to get rid of so I could get a new load. And I went to Brother's house early Sunday morning and asked him if he needed any watermelon. And that I needed to go get another load. And so he said, "Well, just let me have what you don't want. Just put them off here." So we unloaded the watermelon. Well, the neighbor across the street, a Spanish fellow, hollered at me and asked me to bring him a watermelon, I believe. And he told me that Verla Johnson had lost about $6,000 out of his house at his neighbor across the street. He knew the neighbor was a Spanish boy. Had gone to his house and robbed his money. Okay. Said he knew where the boy was at. So I run back to Brother Johnson. I said, "Guess what? Your neighbor here knows where that robber is that stole your money out of your house." Said he's down at the Barstow, a little town here, about 35 miles from Kermit. Said at his grandmother's place. He was there yesterday. And it was on a Saturday. And so Brother said, "Well, let's go. Let's go down there. Denton, you drive my car, and me and my wife will go with you." And he said, we'll call the sheriff and tell him to meet us down there." So they called the sheriff, and they had the sheriff to meet us down in Barstow. And as we were going down, I was driving the car, and Laura Mae Johnson, she says, "I want to ask you a question, Denton," said, "We've gone to everybody else in the church and asked this question." Said, "You're the last one. And we want to hear from you," said what is your opinion as causing brothers and I to lose all of our blessings? And I said, well, I hadn't even thought about it. I don't have an opinion. You know me, Lahamay. I don't form no opinions about nothing. I either tell you the straight facts or I don't say nothing. She said, well, I know, but since when have you been without an opinion? I said, look, I don't have no opinion. I hadn't even thought about what's causing you to lose your problem. I know you lost your son, he died, and you know I've never made a comment on that, ever. Yeah, I know, but we'd like to hear from you now on this. And I said, well, I don't have no comment. And so she left off asking me. So we got down to Barstow, and we met the sheriff there, and they went to this house, and the sheriff and Brother Johnson went to this house where this thief had supposedly been the day before, but he had already gone and left. And so we had to tell the sheriff bye, and we was on our way back home. I was, again, driving the Johnson's car. So Laura May, she said, now I want to ask you again. You know, I know you said you didn't have an opinion. I know that you do have. I know. And I want to hear your opinion. I said, Laura May, once again, I don't have no opinion. Because I don't really know what's causing y'all to lose your blessing. But now that you've asked a second time, I just got a message from heaven. And heaven has sent me the answer what's caused you to lose all your blessing. And I said, now it's a secret. But it should not be a secret to you, Verlis. Because you already know that what I'm about to tell you, you have already restored and put into operation. That's the sanctuary system at the daily. And you have since rescinded the daily. So, he said, well, before you tell me the secret, he said, tell me again about the changing of the guard. And I said, well, Brother Johnson, I don't see anything in the prophecies or the scriptures that shows that there'd be somebody to take your place up to now. I said, as far as I can tell, you're the last prophet on the scene in the chain of prophets for the Adventist Church. And I said, I know it's not me. It wouldn't be me because I'm not qualified. And I said, I've had two wives. I've got two wives. My first one divorced me over this message. And so I felt like I was clean and justified in taking a second wife that believes like I do. That's in the church that believes the message. And that's the reason why I have a second wife. But I said, as far as being a prophet and the head of the Yahweh's church, I am not qualified. And I said, and boy, I never covet that position. I said, I just would soon be a doorkeeper. And I said, I'm just content to be your doorkeeper, Brother Johnson, to be your armor bearer. That's all I've ever been content to be. That's the reason I've been here for 32 years. And never caused any problem or anything. Because I've been content with the position that Yahweh gave me. To be your armor bearer, to be your spokesman. To work out in the field, to be your legs for you. To run and do and to help you carry on your ministry. I said, I never complained when you didn't anoint me to be your right hand elder, and you did your son. I said, I never even give it second thought. Because it didn't bother me. I was fulfilling the position that Yahweh had given me personally, so it didn't matter to me whether you recognized me in any other position or not. It didn't bother me. I never give a second thought about any of it. That's the reason I don't have no opinion about any of this stuff. Okay, so Brother John said, okay, now that you've cleared that up, he said, now let's hear the secret. What is the answer to our problem? I said, well, heaven tells me that you're to repent. Number one, that you're to restore the daily. Number two, that you're to call a church meeting today, that we have a church crisis. and that you're to call them all in and have me deliver this message from heaven to them. And tell them this is what you will have to do to get yourself ready for the atonement, to get rid of your filthy garments, to get your sins blotted out, and for us to come into full unity, and for Yahweh to restore his blessings to you, to this church. So that was my answer. And so I just read to you now what Willis Johnson, what he said, and I'm going to read you that answer again now, what he said, and see how it compares, because I'm telling you the truth, and heaven knows that I am telling the truth, because I bound this truth in heaven when I published this truth to Gilead Center in 2002, and Yahweh honored it by this letter becoming a matter of historical fact and coming true, because heaven honored it and brought Rhodes to his end, just like I prophesied. So this is what I'm telling you. So Rhodes says, then on a Sunday afternoon, July the 14th, well, like as I told you, it was on a Sunday morning, my wife and I, and Denton, who was driving our car, were returning from a short trip. Okay. And all of a sudden, Denton spoke out in a stern, commanding voice, and he said, the Lord told me to tell you to sit up to 9 a.m. and the 3 p.m. worship in the church on all holy days and in the homes on all other days. Well, when I told Brother Johnson that Yahweh told him to repent and to restore the daily, that's all I said, restore the daily. And Brother Johnson's answer was, I don't have anything to repent of. And number two is, we don't have to keep the daily here in this country. We next keep our daily when we get into the land of Israel. That was his answer on that. You see, but he wouldn't dare publish that here. It wouldn't look good to him, see. Because, and then I would come back and say, well, you know that, you restored the daily in 1970 with all divine institutions, with all that fanfare restoring the sanctuary and the feast days, and you wrote the creation calendar on it, and the clarion call, and you wrote the Kingdom of Heaven track. And I said, and then you sent a letter to the Adventists telling them that they're to start keeping the daily at the 9 and 3 o'clock, and then you rescinded it. After that, and then you had people come and told you that they would join you if you would restore the daily in 1983, and so you restored it again. And now here in 2002, you're telling me that we're not supposed to keep it here. We're next keep our daily when we get into the land. So you see, this is what I'm talking about. And this and so Alan stands up the other day and he says, Willis Johnson published the truth. Everything he published was the truth. Well, you see there what happens whenever you lose your way? You don't remember a thing what happened in the past. And apparently Alan has lost everything that he ever held up as a truth in the past. What caused him to make his transition with us, I guess he doesn't understand any of that now. And that's a sad commentary. Okay, so then Willis Johnson was right when he published this here, though, where he said that I told him to tell you to, says that, no, he said the Lord speaks to me just like he speaks to you, and he said, I turned to the Lord, man, he said, you better obey my voice, you better, something about obey, because I get mentioned the Lord. I never said anything like that. in a stern commanding voice to me saying, the Lord told me to tell you to sit up and I am. You know, Laura May, when she asked me to give her an opinion, and I gave her that message from heaven, Laura May says, the Lord, if he got a message for Willis W. Johnson, don't need no Denton Drunken to bring a message from heaven to him. He'll bring it to Willis straight to him just like he's always done. He don't need no Denton Drunken to bring him a message. And so, I said, well, she said, when she told me that she wanted my opinion on why they were losing all their blessings. She says, the only thing that we can figure, we've searched our lives, we've searched our souls. We can't think of one thing we've done wrong that caused us to lose all these blessings. The only thing that we can figure out is we're having a Job's time of trouble. We're having Job's trouble. We're perfectly innocent, that God is just testing us. And she said, that's what we feel like that's happening to us. And I turned to her and I pointed my finger and I said, wrong, wrong. I said, Job was a righteous man. And don't ask me where that came from. But I was insinuating that Rose and Laura May couldn't be having Job's trouble because they're not righteous people. And that's what I was insinuating. That's what the voice from heaven told me to say. I said, wrong. I said, Job was a righteous man. And boy, that's where Brother Johnson twisted all that and saying, I turned to her in a stern commanding voice saying, the Lord told me to tell you. Something about the Lord speaks to me just like he speaks to Brother Johnson. And so forth. So anyway, then Brother Johnson, I told him to fire Nikki, and I'll fire Rodney, his grandson. And he says, the Lord says the Lord speaks to me just like he speaks to you, Brother Jay. The Lord told me to tell you to move the web page from Rodney's house to my Denton's house. Now, that's the first time I'd ever given a message to Brother W. Johnson, July 14, 2002, where I addressed the fact that I just got this message from heaven. That's the first time in 32 years that I had ever had a situation in Johnson's presence where I was given a message from heaven to give right directly to him right then and there. Okay. But yet, he's saying, the Lord told me, he speaks to me just like he speaks to you. I had told them all through the years in the church after services, we'd have social talks after the regular sermons be over. We'd have sit there in church and socialize and talk about different things. And I'd give a testimony. They'd ask for testimony. I'd say, well, I have a testimony. The Lord spoke to me and told me thus and thus. And many times I told them in church that the Lord spoke to me at different times and told me things. And I told them what they were. Now, this is true. But I told everybody in the church when it happened. They wanted a testimony. I told everybody. So this was no secret. And I said, well, I'm not. And then Daniel spoke up one day and he said, well, I only know of one prophet in this church, and I only know that God only speaks to this one man. That's my dad. And he's the only prophet in this church. I said, I never did say I was a prophet. But I did say that Yahweh speaks to me and gives me messages that he wants me to know. And I said, when I ask him for an answer, he speaks to me and impresses me the answer. Well, they were offended by that. They didn't think anybody else in the church should be getting any communication from Yahweh directly. So anyway, but Brother Johnson published this right here. And this is the truth. He says, told me to sit at the 9-3, wish me the church on all holy days and in the homes on all other days. The Lord speaks to me just like he speaks to you, Brother Jay. The Lord told me to tell you to move the web page from Rodney's house to my Denton's house, where it belonged, so that he and Catherine could run it. Well, the thing is, about 1997, Rose Johnson asked my wife to come up to his house every day and take over the computer and to learn the computer, and he would pay for her to take computer classes, and so she could be his computer man. Because he couldn't depend on Rodney, he couldn't depend on his daughter-in-law, Rebecca. He couldn't depend on anybody in his family. And Amy DeLong was a computer person, but she didn't want to do Rhoda Johnson's computer work for him. And so it was just a matter of my wife was the only one that had the time that she could do it, but she had to learn it. So he brought it up there and said, if you'll learn it, I'll pay for you, learn it. And, but I want you to come here to my office every day. Well, my wife says, we just lived 1/8 of a mile from the house, and doing computer work, you can do it in your own home. For the church, and I have to go up there every day. So my wife had to take care of the home base for the cooking and everything else, you know, preparing foods and taking care of everything else we had to take care of around our house. She couldn't go up and spend 8 hours a day at Brotus's office, you know. So anyway, she said, my wife volunteered to do it if she could do it at her house. Well, Brother Johnson got upset and said, well, I'll just go over to Amy DeLong and ask her to do it anyway. And so he hired Amy DeLong to take over the computer work. And that bombed out. But anyway, whenever I got that message July the 14th, I told Brother W. Johnson. I said, you're to move. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. You're to move your computer to my house. Just like I told him in the very beginning, that we would do it if we could do it from our house. So this is what the Spirit told me on that day, July the 14th, to tell Brother Johnson move the web page, move his web page to our and computer to our house. And so they said the Lord told me to tell you to move the web page from Rodney's house to mine, Denton's house. That's what he told me. And Brother Johnson published, that's what the Yahweh told me, where it belonged. And so he and Kevin could run it. Rodney is not qualified because he don't come to church all the time. And Rodney and Nikki don't dress properly, as the rules call for. And this is true. His wife wore tight skirts with slits up the back clear to her rear end, and just tight as she could get them on, and up above the knees. And she wore red lipstick and earrings, and she just decked out like a Babylonian harlot. And Rodney approved of it. And they came to church when they wanted to, and they were a desecration to the sanctuary. And yet Brother Johnson had anointed him to be an elder. Okay, so that's what I told him. Brother Johnson published it. The material that Daniel brings for current events is not kosher. This is true. Daniel would bring all kinds of worldly stuff on the Sabbath. He was in charge of current events, him and his mother. And this is true. And Daniel, Rebecca, and Rodney, Nikki, and Amy are Cord Dathans and Abirams. Well, this is not so. I told Laura May, not brothers. I turned to her before we got home that day. And at the end of my last message, I said, Laura May, you are the ringleader of this group, of Daniel, Rebecca, Rodney, Nikki, and Amy, are as the Cord Dathans and Abirams. I didn't say that they were Cord Dathans and Abirams. I use that preposition as the Cord Dathans and Abirams. The Brother Johnson says, the present tense plural verb are. But I use the present tense verb is. Okay. The present tense singular verb is as, and as is a preposition. The is an article. The Brother Johnson, he didn't write this the way that I said it. So he just changed the meaning of it all together, making me as a judge and then an accuser. Nikki and Amy are Cord Dathans and Abirams. I said, no, I didn't say that. I said they're as the Cord Dathans and Abirams, and should be eliminated. And that's what I said. Denton turned around and alarmed me in the back seat saying, you better obey my counsel, for this is from the other. No, I didn't. Laura May, when we got back home, she took Brothers to the house and let him out. And then she drove me home by herself. She drove the car. Once we got to Brothers' house, she took over the driver's seat and she drove me home. She said, I want to say something. I resent you telling me that and my family are Cord Dathans and Abirams. I said, Laura May, don't you go repeating that. I said that you all were as the Cord Dathans and Abirams. Now, if you don't say that, then you're lying. And sure enough, here's Brother Johnson. He prints exactly what Lorme said. And after I told her a second time that you are as a cordes in a bond, and I said, because y'all are repeating exactly what they did. So it says the word of Yahweh, and Brother Johnson going on saying, and he ended up, said, the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, if you will not listen to the voice of others, I will instruct you. Thus I had promised that I would not listen to nor follow another voice, worship Yahweh, and turn only, and you are in only shalt thou serve. Whatever that means, you are in. Okay, maybe that should be taken out of it. We listened to Denton rave on for some 30 miles. Can you imagine this? I'm driving. I'm just as quiet as I can be. I have nothing to talk about because I have no opinions. And all I'm concentrating on is trying to help them catch that thief. And that's all we were talking about until Lorme asked me a second time to give opinion for the second time. And I said, well, I've got a message from heaven. And so I spent, and we weren't 15 miles from home whenever this happened. And I was only going about 60 miles an hour. I was only 15 minutes from home. So how could I be raving on for 30 miles when that would be a 30-minute rave on? When my message that I had to give is only a 5-minute message. And that's how long it took me. Because 8 miles before we got home, I looked at this at the road sign. It said 8 miles to Kermit. I said, Brother Johnson, I have one more thing to add to that message from heaven. I forgot. I'd be remiss in my duties if I didn't tell you this. I think that's when I told him to restore the daily. It's something that I'd missed, and I said, but it was something I'd missed. And I said, now, make sure that you do this. And I said, now, that's all I got to say. It took me about 30 seconds to give that to him, and then I shut my mouth. We drove on quietly home. So anyway, he says, 30 miles, raving. See, I'm raving. Here they are, they won't leave me alone. I'm quiet. They're trying to coerce an opinion out of me. And they made a second run at it. And finally, when I got a message from heaven and opened up and gave the message of heaven, then I'm raving on them for 30 miles. While we sat in silence so that the Lord would have a first-hand experience. That Sunday morning at 3:16 a.m., I was awakened, and after I was fully awake, now he says that Sunday morning. Well, the Sunday morning has already passed. He's talking about Monday morning, the next morning. But that's okay. Let that stand. That Sunday morning at 3:16 a.m., I was awakened, and after I was fully awake, my mind was turned to what had happened that evening before on our way home, and I said to myself, I'm going to talk to the Lord about this, and I did. His answer to me was, the answer to your question is found in the story of the two prophets who gave opposite instructions that caused death to fall upon the one. I didn't remember where the story was recorded, so I had to search for it, and I found it recorded in the first book of Kings, chapter 13. And that's where I left off reading to you all for your sermon this afternoon, 1 Kings, chapter 13. Now, I'm going to save this for our next sermon. I'm going to go into the answer now that Brother Sean said he found in 1 Kings, chapter 13. And you're going to see where Brother Johnson condemned himself, and this is what ended his career. For all intent and purposes, whatever it was, misconstruing this story of 1 Kings 13 condemned him like nothing else could have ever condemned him. And what does the scripture say? You don't add to the word or you don't take from it. So it says in Revelation 22, chapter 22, verse 18, he says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Elohim shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth of these things says, Surely I come quickly, even so come Yahshua Messiah." Okay. Now, this brings a close to our 50th hour contact session at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song entitled, "Who at My Door Is Standing?" Who at my door is standing? Who at my door is standing? Patiently drawing near. Entrance within demanding. Who is a voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Yahshua, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart a hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.